It's showtime, Synergy. We're talking gym. Hit it. It was 1985. Rioting broke out at housing estates in Brixton, London, and Liverpool. Rocky IV topped the box office, and Jerrica Benton created a rock star alter ego with the help of a sophisticated holographic AI. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest. It's the writer and director and star of Misfit Sized and Misfit Sized Track 2, Fran Campos. Fran, what's happening, man?
Hello, Gary. Nice to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's a little bit late here in Spain, but I'm fine. I'm cool talking with you and with all the gen fans. It's always nice.
But so you're in Spain, which is super cool because my ancestors came from Spain. What part of Spain are you in?
I'm from the south. I'm from Andalusia.
Gotcha. I'm from, I guess my ancestors were from Avila.
Oh, that's the north.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've never been. My brother got to go couple of summers ago. I want to go eventually, but I hear it's gorgeous, the whole country.
It's a beautiful place, Avila. It's on the north. It's more cold than where I am.
Okay.
But it's beautiful.
Right on. Let's get into it. We're talking Gem tonight, Gem and the Holograms. So what do you remember? Or what's your experience in history with Gem?
Well, when I was young, because, Gem is from 85, I think. But we start to watch Gem here in Spain a little bit more later, around 90, maybe 88.
Gotcha.
It's a few years later. But I started to watch Gem around 92.
Okay.
Because I was very young at that age. I think I was five, 6 years. But I remember I watched for time and I got mesmerized for all the colors, that band of girls.
Yeah.
It's the first cartoon I see with that structure, like a video, like a music video from MTV, all the songs, all the themes, the two bands, rivals. I love the Misfits. I became a fan of the Misfits. And it was very important to me, you know, because Jen always talked a lot of themes, a lot of things not normally talking in another cartoons, like love, equality. It's not only the music that was really cool.
Right.
It was all the, all the themes that they talk in the cartoons.
All the themes, yeah, definitely. And I'm kind of there with you. So I didn't start watching it right away. I think I caught it like in season two when it aired. And I was more, of course, into like Voltron and Transformers and like all the action stuff. But when I started watching it later on in reruns, I started seeing like how deep it is. I mean, there's like a whole love triangle thing. It's very Superman, if you think about it, you know, where Lois Lane's in love with Superman, but Clark likes Lois. But Lois also kind of likes Clark and they don't know that it's the same. It's very, very, very similar with Jerrica and Jem and Rio. So that kind of drew me in because I was a big comic book fan. And then you're right, the music was great. I think at the time, most critics actually preferred the Misfits music. So you're right along with a lot of music critics, which is pretty cool. And I've been listening to a lot of the soundtracks, and I got to say that I agree. I think the Misfits songs are overall a lot better. I think Gems are just much more poppy and a little bit younger oriented. but I also dug the two rival bands. And then season three hits and all of a sudden, bam, we get a third rival band.
And it was like the Gem is like the pop, mm-hmm. and Misfits was more punk. And yeah. and then the third, the Stingers is rock, is pro rock.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, rock, a little bit funky, you know. Yeah. But speaking of the Stingers, you actually play Riot in your film. Why did you choose to play Riot? Is like, what was your inspiration for that?
But I didn't choose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was very scary for me. At the first, when we made the first Misfit size, mm-hmm. I only decided to make a little bit part, like a cameo.
Right, towards the end, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we didn't know we're going to be a sequel. Mm-hmm. But after the first part, all the fans, the good reception among the fans from Misfits side, we decided to make the sequel. And I was searching another actor to play Riot. And okay. I wasn't going to repeat the role, but all the, because I was scared. I was right. really scared to play Riot. I'm not a singer and I never seen before.
Okay.
And when my team support me and say, no, you must play Riot again. We're going to help you. And I start to make class of singing, maybe not to be a singer, but not to mess up. and then I play Riot, and it was a great experience. It was great because, you know, it's like the cartoons I see, and now I play a role of that cartoons, and it was amazing.
Right on, yeah. So let me go ahead and just real quick tell the audience about about Gem. So if you don't remember, Gem is a story of Jerrica Benton and her sister Kimber, whose father passed away. He owned a part of Starlight Records. On his death, he left her some earrings and a sophisticated artificial intelligence computer that can project like realistic holograms. Using this, she creates a band, Gem and the Holograms, with some of her friends and the people that run the foster home with her. And she's able to really make success of it and gain control, full control of her dad's label, which is really nice because the other half was controlled by Eric Raymond, who was kind of a jerk. Although I think in your movie you made it Erica Raymond, which is really cool. But he's just like a real jerk, voiced by Charlie Adler, by the way, which is pretty cool. Buster Bunny. And while they're competing, he sponsors another band, the Misfits, who develop an intense hate and rivalry with Jim. Although we find out later on that not all the Misfits are that bad. Stormer in particular is she's kind of really a good girl. She likes mischief, but she's not into the evil stuff like the other ones are.
Oh, I think Stormer was the more kind of
definitely them. Yeah. And the whole thing was based on a toy line. Christy Marks, who's written for, like, she wrote for G.I. Joe, she wrote for a bunch of other shows, and they had her kind of develop all the backstories the way Larry Hama did for the G.I. Joe series. And so Hasbro used this to kind of compete essentially with Barbie. Unfortunately, the toys didn't do very well, but the series did well enough that even after the toys were canceled, they continued to produce the series. So it's three seasons, 65 episodes, which is a full syndication run.
And the fans, we're still waiting for a reboot, like He-Man and like Master of Universe or She-Ra. I think it's time to make a reboot of Gem.
I'm surprised they haven't, and I think it's just because the movie, the 2015 film, didn't do so well. But they kind of like took, I was kind of bummed about it. They like took everything really Gem out of it, you know?
Yeah, and I love the music of that movie.
Honestly. The music was very good, yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really good songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls was very well cast, and Juliette Lewis was amazing as Erica.
Yeah, I agree. I think all that was great. I wish they had done the synergy. I wish they had put in like everything you know, that made kind of Gem special. And so I kind of missed that. I think it was a very big missed opportunity. It was only in theaters for like 2 or 3 weeks.
I think to be honest, mm-hmm. I think one of the things maybe I missed on that movie mm-hmm. was the in the cartoons, Gem was the singer, but also she was the manager.
Right.
She was the boss.
Yeah.
Of the company. She was the boss of the group of the orphanage.
Right.
She was the manager. And she was I honestly think Jen was a badass.
She was, yeah.
But in the movie, she wasn't.
Right.
She wasn't want that fame. She was kind of lost in that world. It's like another way to bring Jen on this generation, I think. But I missed that of the character. You know, it's like I want a more determinate Jen and Jericho.
Yeah, no, I get it. She was a very strong, like powerful woman, you know, in the original series. And you're right, we kind of didn't get that at all. And that's a bummer because I think when you can show, you know, young women that there's women out there that are strong and confident. And I mean, I think that empowers young women as well. So that's kind of a shame that we didn't get it. But you're right. The music was fantastic. The actress did a great job. I think just overall, the plot wasn't quite there. But the cartoon was amazing. You're right. It was like flashy colors. And I like how anytime they cut to the songs, they did it almost like an MTV style video. You know, they had the text at the bottom.
Which, yeah, even the text, yeah.
which I noticed you did in your films as well. You put the text there too, which was really cool. But they really tried to make it like a video. So sometimes it was like one of those videos where it was, you know, just them performing on stage. And other times it was like a fully produced type video, you know, where you would cut different scenes. And I mean, it was very 80s. And very era appropriate, you know, it really matched what was going on MTV, which it was like groundbreaking if you think about it.
Yeah, because, for example, MTV born like very at the same time, I think, because MTV born on the 80s.
81, yeah.
Then mm-hmm. Jen tried to take that big bomb that was MTV and put on the cartoons, and I think they do something very clever and very nice implemented on the cartoons.
Yeah,
I never see, even now I never see a cartoons like Jem with mm-hmm. that structure.
No,
I never seen anything after that.
Yeah, there's really nothing like it, which is, again, makes it very unique. It's definitely, I think if they were to do it now, I think they would have to make something closer to what you did in design-wise. You know, of course, they're very 80s with the big poofy hair and, you know, all the neon colors. And while you captured all that in yours, you also updated it. What was your inspiration for some of the design of, you know, of Jem?
We took inspiration in few singers. For example, for Pizzazz, we take inspiration on Kesha.
Okay.
On Kesha looks more punk, more campy. Mm-hmm. And for Jem, it was like on the Memphis Side track 2, we tried to make like a little bit of Lady Gaga mm-hmm. with a little bit of Cher.
Okay.
<It's> like, I know it's a little bit crazy, but we try to mix that.
Not as crazy as you think. I mean, Cher in the 80s especially was kind of out there with her looks, and I think she matches quite well with Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Yeah. And for example, for Riot and the Stingers, we think on Adam Levine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With that shadow on the eyes and that look more smoky and more like a 80s rock star. And we try to figure out and look on the cartoons too. For example, Pizzazz used the animal print too. And even Kimber use the white with the pants.
Right.
And we tried to mix that and brought that essence on the present, on this time. It's like an evolve.
Well, and I noticed you also, you use, of course, the Truly Outrageous, song, which is iconic. But tell me about the Misfits song.
Yeah. It's on the first part, we use versions. We don't have original song. On the track two, we use original songs and some songs of the show.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. In Misfits Eyes, part one, it's essentially the group's first meeting. You kind of reimagine their first meeting for a modern day audience. And so Jam at this point is playing for a club. And they're, the group is doing well. And then Erica Raymond and her Misfits come in and they essentially take over the gig.
Yeah. And, but we try to imagine that first encounter,
mm-hmm.
but we try to respect the
source material. Yeah.
The source material. Yeah. Because, it was like, Jam and the Young Ones have their audience, have their fans from kind words, positivity, and then the Misfits go and go destroying everything. It's mm-hmm. like we're going to kick the door and go and take it because that was the Misfits do on the cartoons.
Right.
So we tried to make that on the short films, bring that on the present day, but respecting the surge, the radio surge.
Mm-hmm. And it plays very, very well. I do like how, and I don't know if you mind me, giving away the plot to your short film or not, but I do like how basically the audience is not having any of it. They want their gem. I thought that was a nice touch. And the Misfits get so upset about it.
Yeah, because it's like... besides in the cartoons, I remember she was like very wild.
Mm-hmm.
She do the things without think about it.
Right.
I do and later maybe I think in what I do, but first I'm going to do. Right. And that's what they do on the short film. They enter in a concert that wasn't their concert. It was another concert. And try to take this stage and say, okay, we're going to take this stage and then all the people going to love us. And no, if the people pay a ticket and go to see a band, they want to see that band. They don't want to see another band to kick the door and take the stage and insult the other band. Not work like that. So we try to show that.
Which is funny because the Misfits in the cartoon were very much like that. They thought they could just take control over anything.
Yeah.
And Pizzazz and I think Roxy, right? Roxy's the one with the white hair. She, they're definitely wild girls compared to the other ones. Like they attempt murder sometimes. There's a lot of shenanigans they get down to.
Yeah. And it was very funny because for example, when they in some time they are going very close to cause a tragedy, like mm-hmm. to kill. Yeah, and even maybe wasn't the impatient, but they do because they don't. Right. Besides, don't think about what she do.
Right,
and it's like for example, Stormer. Sometimes they look like, oh my God, she's crazy. She's and that was a very fun part of the cartoons, I think.
I think so too. I mean, and we even see that Stormer, you're right, she is definitely the more compassionate one, the kinder one. We see that she even talks to the cops about how Pizzazz and Roxy were, were going to, you know, frame Jim for stealing some money, you know, in that one episode. So I'm glad that at least the Misfits have a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of a softer side to them in Stormer.
It's like the clever side. It's like the, okay, calm down,
that's George,
right. Because we're going to get in serious trouble.
that's right, yeah. But then Stormer also develops a friendship with or relationship with Kimber from Jim, and they become like a songwriting duet, I believe, in the cartoon. Don't they even make their own album, I think, in the cartoon?
Yeah, they made an album. They made a song together.
Mm-hmm.
They write song together. And I think that part was really, really interesting in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we don't usually see that bond or that kind of relationship in TV before, and less in a cartoon TV show.
Right.
And then they show another thing very interesting. It's like Jem and the Misfits don't support their relationship.
Yeah.
It's like for the first time we see that Jem get grown too.
Mm-hmm.
And she don't support the relation of Kimber with Stormer. Mm-hmm. Because not for the relation in fact, it's more for the rivalry of the band.
The bands, right.
Yeah. And that was very interesting to see, I think. Yeah, I love that part.
Yeah, there's a lot of really complex issues and relationships and just matters that they deal with in the show. There was going to be, although they ended up scrapping it, but I believe there was going to be an alcohol related episode as well that they ended up
even
not
drunk.
Yeah, and that's right, yeah. And they ended up not quite doing, you know, as much as they could. So they weren't afraid. And I think that's one of the cool things about it, is that they were willing to kind of push the envelope a little bit on what they could cover. You know, it's very much like 21 Jump Street, where they really, you know, got into some of the issues. It was very issue driven, you know, in that show. And I think Jem kind of had a little bit of that as well. Now, it is funny that the character that you play, Riot, the lead singer of the Stingers, he's very Jem obsessed. Like he's he's really into Jem, and kind of doesn't take no for an answer.
He's kind of a stalker.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. He's a little bit stalkerish. Yeah.
No, but it was very funny. I think it's a character very, very funny. It's in Taiwanese, and he's. It's like you say, because he don't fight for a place on the music industry, because he got that place.
Right.
He had that place. So mm-hmm. he don't have to fight for a place in the music industry. It's not like Misfit and Jem. It's not that fight. Riot want to impress Jem and want to follow Jem.
Yeah,
and it's going to be and try to make plans to get together all
right.
the time, and it's like very stuck, and it was very funny. It was a rival, but a very funny rival, I think. And maybe it's not it when you see right now, you say okay, maybe. It has a problem, but
well, and things that like nowadays that we consider problematic, it weren't considered quite as problematic in, you know, in the 80s. So yeah, definitely. I think nowadays someone would have called the cops on him or something. Yeah. But yeah, he's you're right. He's already kind of an established musician, you know, a singer as part of that group. And I think he ends up co-owning, what is it? Stinger. It's like Stinger Records or something with Eric Raymond.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They have their own company even.
Yeah.
I love play the singers. I and my two co-stars in the Misfits, I take the role of Minx and Rapture really well too. I love that characters from the show.
The trio, yeah, Yeah, the Stingers are cool. It's interesting thing. I didn't know his backstory, that apparently he joined the army and then went AWOL when he didn't like it and just kind of started singing and made it in the music industry. And his dad disowned him. And Jem is kind of instrumental in helping them get back together and, you know, to reunite, which is again, very much something that Jem would do. But it's also, you don't see that in a lot of cartoons nowadays. It's like, fight the bad guy, you're done, you know?
Yeah, and Riot and the Stingers have a really nice plot. We don't see so much in the cartoons, but for example, if we read about them. Mm-hmm. We know, for example, they has another group before called Nirvana, like Kurt Cobain group. And then Riot want to make another different things. Mm-hmm. Then he took Raptor. Raptor was on Nirvana too. And then they met Minx,
who
was a German musician.
Right.
They then formed the Stingers trio.
Nice. Now, I noticed in your Misfit size, you have four of the Misfits themselves. So was that Jetta included in there as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want Jetta.
Yeah. They start off as a trio, and then when Jem, their drummer...
Shana.
Yeah, that's her. So she leaves to go pursue like a fashion career. Yeah. And that's when they get Raya. And I know in Misfit Size Track 2, you included that storyline, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But it's because of that the Misfits, who again were originally a trio, get Jetta. And I know in the cartoon, Jetta and Roxy really didn't get along at all.
No. I include that on my short films because I think it's very funny, that relation.
It is, yeah. It's really, really funny.
The actress was amazing. The two of my actors who plays Jetta and Roxy was great. Well, in Roxy, mm-hmm. we must change the actress on the sequel, on track 2.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Sophia, we love Sophia from the first Misfit side, but she cannot come back because she was in London, so she cannot come back.
Oh, I got you.
And mm-hmm. then we must search another actress, and then Inma Gonzalez sent her on the group, and she was amazing because she took the role, make something different from Sophia, and both
right.
was great because both were different on her way.
So why did you decide to make the short film?
When I saw the movie, mm-hmm. I started to write an history. And I only directed a very, very short film before, mm-hmm. 30 seconds short film, very small. And then I write the history, but only like a hobby.
Okay.
I don't pretend to be a short film. But then I showed the history, I showed the script to a good friend of mine, Jose Reed, who teach me all that I know from cinema, from directing. And he looked at the script and said, we must do this.
Oh, okay.
We must do this. And then he showed the script to another friend. This friend have a friendship with a famous actor here in Spain called Sal Barreina. Mm-hmm. And that famous actor have a big concert hall in my town. So we reunite and he say, okay, I want to help you and I give you my concert hall to film this if you're going to do it.
Oh, wow.
And I say, okay, then we must do it.
Yeah, how do you say no to that? Yeah.
and then all the stories start.
Nice.
I love Jem. Mm-hmm. I love Jem the Hologram from I was a child. Mm-hmm. And this was my like mix my two loves, like my love from the cartoons and my love from cinema. Mm-hmm. And then I mix that two things and Misfits Eyes was born.
Showtime synergy.
Right on. The fans loved it. So you decided to do the second one after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
And the second one's longer, too.
Yeah, the second one is longer, and it's we have more resources.
Mm-hmm.
And you can saw that in the film, because there is an evolution from the first one to the second one. Very
there easy. Is, yeah.
And it was for all the fan support from Samantha Newark, who support us to the original Gem voice. And we was like amazed when she support us from Instagram, and it's like a dream. And even there is Charlie Feldman is a script writer and director from America.
Mm-hmm.
She writes from Adventure Time, Fraggle Rocks.
Oh wow.
And she made a short film about Gem too.
Mm-hmm.
Called Truly Outrageous.
Oh, okay.
And it's like we direct the both short films at the same time, but we saw each other work, and then a friendship born between
nice.
Us. and she supported me a lot to make another history. She supported me a lot because, for example, Rolling Stone, the Rolling Stone magazine made a reporter about Gem and the Holograms. And in that report, they mentioned Misfits Eyes and Truly Outrageous. And I didn't know, but she sent me a message on Instagram, Fran, Rolling Stone mentioned about Truly Outrageous and Misfits Eyes. Look.
That's cool. That's super cool.
I think it was a joke at first. I must be honest, it was real. It was amazing.
Like, get out of here.
yeah, it was no, this can't be real. But yeah.
So is there a track 3 in the works, or
it's going to be a track 3.
Cool.
Yeah, this is a exclusive. It's going to be a track 3. I don't know when.
Right.
Because I can say a date, because now we are with another project, but
right.
It's going to be a track, a third track, a final track, in fact.
Okay.
We go the history, we talk with the actors, and it's going to be new characters, like the Lip Lizards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's going to be great when we made it.
Right on, man. That's cool. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. Speaking of, I forgot to mention when you said Lady Gaga, I was going to say something else, but then I got off topic. But Lady Gaga actually studied voice with the singing voice of Riot. So that was a cool connection. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have a few more questions, but before we get in there, I do want to mention that in 86 and 87 in the UK, they did actually have some, it was officially a magazine, but you know, sometimes they call them comics. It was by London Editions Magazines, or Egmont. And they actually created a fortnightly, so every 2 weeks, series. And it was kind of set before Gem officially won the Battle of the Bands and took over control. And it was during this time that in issue number 4, they actually have a little Christmas story. And so that one, it's called The House of Fear. And I'm just going to give a brief summary. It's extremely rare. I haven't been able to find anything except like a few pages out there. But in that one, it says Christmas is approaching, and both the Holograms and the Misfits are concerned about getting the number one Christmas hit. When Eric finds out where the Holograms plan to film their new video in a country mansion, he thinks of a plan to make spooky things start to happen on their way. So I don't know how it ends. I haven't been able to find it. I'm excited. I've been looking everywhere, eBay, live auction, all the various sites. I can't seem to find a copy of it. But I was really, really interested to see. I've only ever seen one copy of the magazine, and it was issue like number 2 on sale, and I've never been able to find it. But that's kind of cool. I mean, they sparked a whole little, you know, magazine, and then in 2015 they came out with a whole new series of comics at IDW, I believe.
Yeah, and I didn't know about that. You know, you sent me the chapter by Messenger, but I was impressed because I didn't know the existence of that comic, and it was okay. I want to see this.
I know, me too. There's like so many. They all sound great. Like, I guess there's a couple of stories in each issue, and like one of the stories is like a big long plot, and then all the other stories are just like, you know, little self-contained small stories. But like, I wish I could read it. It sounds cool. But, you know, maybe one day I'll find it somewhere. I don't know, antique mall or something.
Jim will be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Jerry D. I'm live from 34th Street right here in New York City. And I'm talking with Charlene Lewis from Fashion Speaks podcast. Charlene, how's it going?
Hi, I'm scoring pretty great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful here. It's quite a busy night, but you know, I'm here to ask about Jem. What do you remember about Jem and the Holograms?
I loved Jem. That was definitely one of my favorite cartoons. I used to watch it all the time. I gotta say, like, my favorite thing about Jem was Synergy. I loved Synergy. I loved the whole, like, this is like, what is Tony Stark's
like Jarvis?
Yes, like her Jarvis. Yeah. I love that that part of the show.
Synergy could do like all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, and just like, just, you know, tap her earring and she could just talk to Synergy at any time. And I like the fight back and forth between them and the Misfits. Yeah. I just thought that was fun. even though, like, you know, you're supposed to hate the Misfits, but you need them in the show.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's fun to hate them.
And so, some of their songs actually were, I think, better.
I like a lot of their songs. Like, and obviously, like, they're supposed to cause, like, you know, mayhem and destruction, and then
right.
The songs would just be really good and catchy to go along with it. I do think a lot of times their songs were better in the episode.
I agree. Yeah,
I like them equally. I think their songs definitely, like, they were definitely equally good.
And for me, I mean, it doesn't get better than Truly Outrageous. You know, it's you can just sing it all the time. It's so catchy.
Yes, it's one of those songs that will stay in your head for a long time.
For sure. Yeah. Did you ever want the earrings?
I never thought about that. But yeah, because that is definitely that style of the 80s as well. Like, just the whole vibe. And that kind of style, I want to say, has come back. Shapes and things like that. But I never thought about it then. But I would have loved that. Yeah,
it would have been pretty cool. I remember Rio, of course. He's the one that I kind of identified with most, as you know.
Yeah.
So, it had to have been kind of crazy between him, you know, choosing between Jem and Jerrica. And I can imagine his confusion. Were you more of a Jem and Rio or a Jerrica and Rio? And I know it's kind of a crazy question because they're the same person, but like, which did you see him fit better with?
Okay. This is always, I always had like a weird thing about this because I never understood why it had to be like this secret.
Yeah.
So I think I preferred Jem because I just wanted her to just tell him. So yeah. I think I preferred him with Jem and Rio.
Now, if you, and I think I'm actually right there with you, honestly. Because I don't understand why it had to be a secret either. But I don't know. Because reasons?
It's like just to add something else to the show.
A little bit of drama. Yeah. So if you could join one of the bands, who would it be?
I mean, definitely, I definitely love just the friendship and the style choice of Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah.
I would pick them for sure. I think that the Misfits seem fun.
they did.
And their songs were fun, but I would choose Gem and the Holograms for sure.
Right on. I'm a goody two shoes, so I think I choose Gem and the Holograms as well, unfortunately. Yeah. What color would you have dyed your hair? Because Gem's was like a pink.
Yeah.
Kimber's was like a reddish orange, I think. But they all had like, you know, 80s hair. So
yeah. I probably would have tried the purple.
Oh, that would have been cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would have probably went well with my skin tone. I think I would have liked that. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not somebody like really that adventurous with my hair color. Like, cause I don't always think that different hair colors look that nice on me. I like black on me.
Yeah,
I probably, if I was going to pick between them, I would have picked purple.
I think purple would look really good on you. Yeah, yeah, honestly.
That would be fun.
I think for me, I might, and I don't know, and I know I'm, you know, here in the city lights, and so it's kind of hard to see, but yeah. I think I'd go for like a red, like a deep red. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Maybe
like
maybe white stripes, you know, I don't
Ooh,
know.
Oh, yeah.
Something
real punk
super
rock.
Crazy. That's right, yeah. I don't know if I could pull that off with these glasses, but I'd try anyway.
Of course you could, yes.
And then final question. So if, you know, you're part of Gem and the Holograms, which instrument would you play?
I would like to play, what is it called? The keytar?
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that was cool. That's one of those things, like, I always wanted to play the piano. I never did. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like the guitar is just very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would like both. Oh, that the keytar sounds like a fun instrument to play.
it totally does. I've never played one. I'm not really a keyboardist, although I can play a little bit of piano, but mm-hmm. I think it would be super fun to play guitar as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
of course I play guitar, so I'd probably just play guitar.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll have our own Gem and the Holograms tribute band or something.
yes I'm here for that. Yeah. I love that.
So tell me, you know, before we go, tell me a little bit about your podcast.
It is a fashion podcast where we just talk about all things fashion. It is getting a bit of a makeover. I've taken a bit of a hiatus, but the podcast is getting a makeover.
Ooh.
And we are going to revamp, and I'm starting fresh, and I will be the sole host on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And so it's exciting. I'm doing, like, it's going to be the same premise, mm-hmm. but I am switching things up a little bit, but you will still be able to find all the information you would need to know about it at fashionspeakspodcast@gmail.com. Also Fashion Speaks Podcast on Instagram and _ Fashion Speaks on Twitter.
Right on. And y'all had a YouTube page too, right?
Yes, we are on YouTube, and it is still, you can locate it if you Google Fashion Speaks Podcast as well. And the name is going to be changing as well, but you could still find it under Fashion Speaks Podcast.
Way cool. Way cool.
Yes.
Check it out. It's amazing. And thanks for coming on and talking with me here in New York City, of all places.
Yes, thank you for stopping me. It's been a fun conversation about Gem.
I really appreciate it. I'm totally going to dress like Rio next time.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. Maybe I'll dress like Aja.
Ooh, very cool. All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
So I'm here on 34th Street again, just recording here with my Walkman, and I'm with Carrie Brown. Carrie, how's it going?
You know what? I couldn't complain if I tried.
I understand that. It's been a pretty good day, just walking up and down 34th Street trying to ask you know, people about their opinions on Gem. But what do you remember about Gem?
So I remember, obviously, the theme song. I think, you know, no matter what's happening, if I hear Gem, I can definitely sing the entire song. But I also think I love the show. But then as I got older, I kind of was like, wow. So, you know, he was dating both girls.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter that they're the same person. That's still problematic.
Exactly. Apparently he didn't know that, right?
Right, exactly.
So that's, I always question my judgment now, you know, because back then I thought it was really cool, but now I'm like, wait a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back then I would say I was like totally, of course, a fan of Jem, and I still am in the song and everything, but right. I'm like, if Misfits had a point, you know, to be.
I tell you, a lot of their songs actually were pretty darn good, and I liked them more than I like some of Jem's songs.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm so glad you asked me about this today as I stroll through New York.
Oh, it's so lovely, isn't it? Oh, there's a little bit of noise from the, you know, the traffic, more than I'd like, but that's okay. Absolutely. did you really like the fashion or was it the songs or what was it that just really appealed to you?
I think it was, I mean, come on. I was like a 70s baby's 80s child. And I feel like I was immersed in all of that. Like I loved the fashion and I loved the songs and I loved the like playful rivalry between the two groups. Like it wasn't like hateful or anything like that. It was just fun and playful. So I think that I really enjoyed that.
Right on, right on. Did you have a favorite character?
Of course it was Jem. I mean,
yeah, you got to be the star, right? I understand. That's I'm the same way.
Yes.
Optimus Prime was my favorite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Oh, I know. I think what I liked about it was that sometimes there'd be videos, like, you know, it'd be in the middle of the story, they'd just cut to like MTV style videos where you could even see the words and everything at the bottom, like the name of the song. And
this was a great time to be alive back then.
I agree. Yeah.
I feel like people don't realize how great we had it back then, you know?
Yeah. And
be like synergy, do blah, blah, blah. You know, happy right now.
Right. What would you do if you had a holographic earrings connected to like a supercomputer?
Oh, I don't know if we need to talk about that. Like, I don't know. Sky's the limit, right?
For real, yeah. Would you start your own band?
You know what? If I had a voice, I probably would. But you know what? I think I would be the drummer. Like if I could drum. Like
yeah.
I would get to that.
That'd be super cool. Yeah. I don't mind being good, you know, playing guitar because I'm a guitarist. So,
yes, you are.
So that would work for me. But yeah, drums would be pretty cool. I think that'd be fun.
You know, drums would just, yeah. I think that would be my thing. Absolutely. But Jem was absolutely iconic. That whole show.
Yeah.
You know, girl power, the music, the fashion, and everything. And you'll be hard pressed to find many people who are like around my age, and I'm pretty young.
I agree.
that wouldn't be able to like give you the whole theme song. So I think that says a lot.
It really does. Yeah. And one last question: if you could, you know, color your hair, one of the colors of of the characters, what color would you color it?
Okay, so anyone in my life would know that it would be purple. For sure.
I was waiting for it. Yep.
As you can see, I have purple in my hair already. So
woo, love it.
Yep, purple for sure.
Well, this has been a lot of fun just talking about some of the cool things about Jem.
Yeah.
I'd ask you to sing us off, but I don't think you'd want to.
I don't want to hurt anyone's ears tonight.
Your comment made me think you didn't want to. But any final thoughts on Jem?
I just think that, you know, we are so lucky that even happened. And if there's anyone listening who's never watched it or heard of it, or, you know, just hasn't revisited it recently, I suggest that you try to look it up and listen to it because it's really a great show.
I agree. And
I feel like it was before its time, to be honest with you.
I think it really was. Yeah. I mean, it kind of had a little bit of Superman in it. You know, Lois doesn't know that Clark is Superman. She likes them both. You know, same thing, Synergy and Rio and you know, or Jem and Jerrica. But at the same time, it was, there was a, it dealt with a lot of like emotion. There was the fashion, there was the music video aspect. It was super cool. So I agree.
Yep. That would be my final words.
Right on. Well, Carrie, thank you so much again.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And enjoy your stroll through New York.
I sure will. I'm heading to get a slice of pizza right now.
Woo. I love it. All right. Thanks again.
Of course.
And now back to Jim.
Yeah, so that's just a little bit of that. Now, I know in season three, we end up having, I think, Bami, one of the foster kids that he keeps looking for her dad and runs into trouble. And in the end is eventually reunited with her dad. But Jim kind of helps her out throughout the series. And that's one of the things I really liked as well, is that as Jerrica, you know, her alter ego, she kind of runs, she helps run this this foster home, which is, again, is pretty nice.
I think it's a very interesting part of the cartoon, the philanthropic, is philanthropic the word?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, philanthropic, yeah.
Side of Jerrica, who tried to keep his father work with that children's, with that, and it was very, very interesting. Yeah, it's something I want to work in my shopping. Yeah. I could only mention it in the track two.
Right.
But it's very interesting because you can see another part. You can see another part of the group. You can see another part of Jerrica. You can see even like a mother side, a mother side.
Right.
Of that children, because it's not always easy. It's not always happy times in that part of the cartoons, because I don't remember the name, but I remember one of the child who was very rebel.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of like try to fight with that, mm-hmm. and teach and learn, and it was very, very interesting.
Yeah. Now, did you did they have the toys in Spain, the gym dolls?
Yeah, we have the, well, now, but we have the toys. I have a friend who has the collection of the holograms.
That's cool. That's really neat. Well, and I know Integrity Toys a few years ago started releasing updated versions. I think they now have like over 40 of them.
Yeah, I think it's only for online purchase, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I was searching.
Nice. Oh, man. But it, okay. One last question before we get in. What is your favorite Jam and or Misfits song?
Oh, Give Me a Gimmick.
Okay.
I really like that song, Give Me a Gimmick. It's very catchy. It's
like, all right. I'm kind of partial to just Truly Outrageous. That's like the, you know, they turned it into their theme song, and I can see why. I think that's like the catchiest one. But overall, yeah, the Misfits did have a lot better songs than Jeff and the Holograms. But you didn't hear that from me, folks. Oh, man. So, you know, I do have to ask, what would you say would be your happiest memory of Jim?
I think it was the first time I saw Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It was an episode. I think it was the first episode, because she made with the Misfits on the company, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And they sing the song Get Out of My Way.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
And when I saw that song, because I saw the MTV in that time when I was a child.
Right.
And then saw these cartoons when Out of My Way, that music video with the letter, and it's like, saw the MTV but in cartoons. And it was like, oh, this is so cool. I like it. and throughout that day, I remember all days after lunch, sit on the TV and watch Gem and the Hologram in my grandparents' house, because at that time I always lunch and stay with my grandparents before my mom come back to work. And I at that time I always sit in front of the TV to watch Gem and the Hologram.
Nice.
That was my most happiest memory, because I saw Gem and the Hologram and I saw Gem and the Holograms with my grandpa. And
nice.
It was a very happy memory.
That's cool. Yeah. For me, I remember being on the playground in elementary school, and the girls would, you know, touch their, like if they had earrings, they'd touch their earrings and you just hear them, Showtime Synergy, and they'd be running around playing. And meanwhile, you know, I'd be playing G.I. Joe or Thundercats or something with my friends. But every once in a while, you know, we'd like hop in and it's like, okay, you be Rio and you be, you know, you be Riot and, you know, you get to be Eric. It was always like the scary kid was always Eric, you know. But I remember all the girls like running around, you know, trying to sing and do it. And it was like fun. We didn't have any cares in the world. It was good times.
We play, when I was a child, we play that to imitate or parodies heroes from the cartoons. And I remember when from Gem and the Holograms, I take my cousins, and I think I was a director at that time too, because I say, okay, you're going to be Gem, you're going to be Stormer, you're going to be
doing all the casting, all the staging and blocking.
Yeah.
Nice. But now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little bit I like to call To the Max. So this is where we do our best impression of one of our favorite parts of Gem. It could be anything from, you know, a piece of dialogue that you heard on the show to, you know, a song, just whatever you'd like. Now, as a guest, you can go first, or if you don't want to, I can go first if you'd like, if you'd prefer.
Go first.
Okay. So my favorite part has got to be out of the whole show is probably the Truly Outrageous song. So I'm going to sing a little bit of the song here. Excuse my voice. Uh-oh. It's truly, truly outrageous. Truly, truly, truly outrageous. A fantasy. Being anyone I want to be. And on top of it all, you're here with me. Oh. Something like that. I don't know. I tried. I'm no Gem, but I tried.
my favorite part is my favorite song too. I say it before. Is Gimme a Gimmick.
Okay.
But I'm going to have a little cheat. Give me a gimme to then pay attention. Give me a gimme to add any new dimension. Give me a gimme something better. Something that tells you that I'm a star. It's like that.
Nice.
Sorry, I'm not a singer.
That's okay. No worries. I'm not really a singer either. I like the Misfits. They had like, you're right, it was very punk. It was almost like a punk electronic style. Like a new wave mixed with punk kind of style.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was very unique, like, but they nailed it.
Electronic with punk style. And
yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. Well, and I think I remember reading that when they were writing their songs, that most of it was done electronically, like the drums, you know, the bass, and it was only every once in a while a guitar. And then when Jetta joins, you know, the sax, that were actually acoustic instruments there.
Yeah, and I found very interesting when Jetta joins, because they put even some jazz group, and that was really cool.
It was, yeah, and I'm a huge jazz fan, so I appreciated when they joined. And of course, in the 80s, there was lots of saxophone all over, you know, and a lot of pop songs had saxophone all over. So it was definitely smart of them to capitalize on that phase, especially. Mm. But yeah, it was just really cool. But I do have to ask, you know, so G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What do you think the other half of the battle is?
the other half, I don't know. Call me that question.
I'm still trying to figure out what it is. I don't know. Knowing the half of battle.
I'm going to tell you about the curiosity about the GIO. You know the last GIO film have a Spanish actress.
Did it?
She played the Baroness.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
The actress who played the Baroness in Snake Eyes was Ursula Corberó. It's a Spanish actress.
Nice. I haven't seen the Snake Eyes movie yet. I was waiting for it to come out on HBO. Or I don't get to go out to the movies very often, so I have to be very, very picky with what I can watch usually. That's cool. That's super cool. I mean, I think that's definitely half of a battle right there, is getting a Spanish actress. For me, I think if knowing is half the battle, the other half maybe is just getting a good pair of earrings.
Well, that's a point.
Oh, my friend, it's been fun talking about Jim and your films and everything with you. But, you know, what do you want to plug? Tell me about any projects or anything you got going on.
Well, now we are in post-production of another fan film. This time is about a video game, a classic video game, Streets of Rage from Sega.
I saw that, Streets of Rage. Yeah, I do know Streets of Rage, yeah. Well,
but you can see our pumpkin posters and some material in Rage, a strip of Rage pumpkin in Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we are preparing to a documentary. It's going to be my first major movie. And we present a trailer in the next Malaga Film Festival in a week.
Cool.
So we are very excited about it because it's a very different project. It's a documentary about the LGBT community in Spain through 60 to the present day, in fact, in my town, in Torremolinos. And it was very interesting because we have here like a stone wall, like your own stone wall. Mm-hmm. We have a similar history. And we talk about that. And in both projects, in Rage and in the next documentary, we have the honor to work with an actress, a great actress who works in Veneno, you know, on the TV show from HBO, mm-hmm. Veneno. Well, we work with Desiree Bogue. It's a transsexual woman, an actress here in Spain, very brave. She plays Nora in Rage, the cool. Beijing with the red.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
And she's the voice of the documentary.
Gotcha.
The voice who...
the narrator.
All the voices of the documentary.
Very cool.
And then after that, we are going to work in Mysticize. Final chapter and
nice.
I mean, a sequel for Rage.
Right on. And so they can find it, you said, at Rage Fan Film on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about if they wanted to find your Misfitsized and Misfitsized Track 2? Where would they find that?
Instagram is Misfitsized.
Gotcha. Cool. All right.
Misfitsized and the both projects are there.
All right, sounds good. Oh man, well it's been a lot of fun talking with you. Thank you for staying up to talk with me.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It was really nice. Thank you so much, Gary.
Right on. On that note, I'm going to end it by saying, show's over, Synergy. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas, and Twitter at Rad Christmas, and If you're feeling like Jim getting the Christmas number one hit, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to check out our merch shop on tpublic.com and a brand new website, totallyradchristmas.com, courtesy of Tis the Podcast Elf, Tom Crow. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a safe night. Later, dudes.